Welcome to the Asexual Anarchist Podcast. This is the first episode. I'm your host, Trevor Holtner, and on today's show, we'll do some introductions and talk about the basics of asexuality. Stay tuned. This is the Asexual Anarchist Podcast, a semi-monthly show where we talk about issues, political and otherwise, inside and out of the asexual community. I'm Trevor Holtner, and aside from being asexual myself, I'm also a longtime podcaster and journalist, and as the title of the show implies, I am a self-identified anarchist as well. Like anarchism, asexuality is often misunderstood in the popular view. One of the goals of this show is to help promote a better, more mature understanding of what asexuality is for you listeners out there who are not asexual, as well as help move the discussion about asexuality in the community from one focused mainly on visibility to the next step, whatever that turns out to be. I do want to make clear on the outset of this project that I am simply one voice, a voice that will sometimes be joined by other voices, true, but at the end of the day, my voice is not the only one out there. There are a lot of people doing a lot of amazing work around asexual visibility, and without them, I doubt I would be here. Specifically, I'd like to give a shout-out to Sarah in the Asexuality blog and podcast, whose relentless answering of questions and being rad in general is both the reason I was able to come to terms with my aceness and the reason I'm doing this show. Her podcast in particular is fantastic and informative, and you should go give it a listen. It is available on iTunes. Now, there are two reasons I'm plugging the Asexuality podcast. The first is I really do like it. The second reason, though, is that it's much more geared toward 101 level visibility and education than my show is going to be. And my goals for this show, some of them do converge with what Sarah has going on at the Asexuality podcast, not exactly 100% what my goals are. Sarah is also way more of an educator, possesses interminable patience, and has a really good style with her show that positions her really well to not just find a niche, but fulfill that specific niche's needs pretty much perfectly. So she's got her space, and it's amazing, and I will build my space outside of that. Now, all of that being said, today's show is going to be one of those education and visibility episodes. And the way we're going to do this is I'm going to kind of talk off the cuff a little bit for a couple of minutes here about asexuality, sort of how I came to consider myself asexual, and answer, I guess, some frequently asked questions about what asexuality is and what it means to those who consider themselves asexual. So we'll start off with the basic definition. Asexuality is, simply put, the lack of sexual attraction to anybody, regardless of any sort of considerations, whether that be gender expression or identity, whether it be specific sexual proclivity, whether it be a romantic attraction to the person. It is full stop, no sexual attraction to people. Now, a lot of people get this confused, and we'll get into that a little bit, but some people think that that has something to do with sexual arousal. Briefly, sexual arousal and sexual attraction are two unconnected and sort of disparate categories, but we will get into that later. First, though, I want to talk a little bit about how I came to consider myself asexual and how I basically got into the community. Now, this is something that I've kind of talked about in other places, but I've never done so actually speaking. So it is a little bit nerve-wracking, even for, you know, someone who has sort of lost his stage fright and, you know, can do this sort of naturally. But basically, for the first 20 or so years of my life, I thought and expressed myself as someone who was, heterosexual, classically straight, so to speak, even. I hit puberty around 12 years old, and at that point, you know, I started experiencing you know, sexual arousal and having to sort of figure out these questions that I was having about my body and about what was going on, you know, hormonally. And I was one of those weird kids who, and this was way before we even had Wikipedia, but I was one of those kids who would take the encyclopedia my parents gave me and read all of the sections on sex. I wanted to know what it was about. I wanted to know what my feelings were. But one thing that never really developed, and this occurred pretty much until I was in my 20s, was a specific attraction to anyone in particular. There were people I had crushes on romantically. There were people that at the time I thought I was sexually attracted to. But it's really difficult to know what sexual attraction is if you don't really have a good understanding of what that means. Like, there were people who I was aroused by, is I guess the kind of, not necessarily, it's kind of the TMI version of that, but never anybody that I wanted to date, really, and never really anybody that I wanted to get to know past either a friendship level or what have you. But those feelings kind of conflicted with society's sort of pressure on me to be in a relationship with somebody, to express feelings for somebody in both a romantic and a sexual fashion. And yeah, that does apply to teenagers. You know, as much as we like to consider teenagers sort of pure as the driven snow and everything, from a pretty young age, like, the expectation is if you're a straight guy, you are going to date a straight girl and eventually either make out or have sex with them. And straight up, that just never happened. I never got to that point. All the way through high school, pretty much after I graduated, I was 2 years into college before I got into my first relationship. And by that point, by the time I hit my about 19 or 20, I was seriously considering the possibility that I may be asexual. You know, I'd read a little bit about it and I was like, hey, this sounds kind of like me, but let's hold up here. I'm not sure yet. And pretty much right as I was doing that research, right as I was exploring that space, I met my first partner. And I won't go too much into that relationship because it is still a little bit raw for me. And I also want to respect them and not sort of drag my dirty laundry out into the world where everybody can hear it. But that relationship did start out very intense. And there was a very, very strong sexual component to it. And I can say pretty definitively that aside from being romantically attracted to them, I was also sexually attracted to them. And I have a feeling that the romantic attraction, the sort of emotional connection that I made with my partner had a lot to do with that, had a lot to do with whether, you know, that I was attracted to them sexually. And so obviously that relationship ended, and there were a few sort of furtive attempts to start other relationships with other folks. And it just never clicked in the same fashion. I just never was at that point. And that lasted for about 2 years or so. October of 2014, I was on Tumblr, actually. And I read a post by Sarah at the Asexuality blog. And it really clicked for me. I can't remember what the post was, but basically, it was a description of a specific sub, you know, genre or subcategory of asexuality, and it clicked with me. I was like, that's me. There is a word for this. What I feel. The fact that I'm not interested in sex, but there are aspects of this, of my sexuality, that I do explore. And so that really clicked for me. And figuring that out, I was able, actually, interestingly, on Coming Out Day in October of 2014, I was able to come out tentatively at the time, although that didn't last too long, as a gray asexual. Now, one of the things that most folks will probably know if they're just now getting in is that you initially encounter a lot of word salad. And people find these definitions really helpful and useful, but there are a lot of subcategories and sub-subcategories and other considerations. For example, my full sort of self-definition is panromantic, gray asexual, meaning that I can experience romantic attraction for just about anybody, regardless of their gender expression, regardless of any other considerations. But that I'm only sexually attracted to certain people, or that I'm only sexually attracted to people once in a while. That's sort of that aspect of it. But, you know, that's really sort of the eye-opening thing about the community, is it is immediately going to shove in most new people's faces that there are a variety of ways in which you can be attracted to somebody, and only one of them is sexual. There is sensual attraction, which does have a physical component, but is much more, or is much less related to the act of sexual intercourse or sexual activity than it is simply cuddling with somebody or, you know, massages, things like that. There is aesthetic attraction, which is like you really like how a person looks, you know, how they put themselves together, that kind of thing. There is romantic attraction, obviously, which people, you know, there is an aromantic side of things as well. And that's something we're going to be talking about here. But, you know, just with everything, you know, there are all sorts of different considerations. And it really does deepen sort of the possibilities for relationships when you no longer think of it as like, well, should I be sexually attracted to somebody? Am I being a bad partner if I'm not sexually attracted to somebody? Is there something wrong with me? Am I broken? Once you realize that like sex is such a small consideration compared to the various considerations that you can include in a relationship, it becomes a lot more rich and it becomes a lot more fulfilling, and you can express yourself in other ways that, you know, allow for better relationships. But I mean, that's really it. You know, I discovered that I was ace. I jumped into the community. I started the Asexual Anarchist blog on Tumblr as a way for me to sort of put down what I was experiencing and feeling on paper, and to have sort of a record of not only my coming out, but the period of time after that. And, you know, right now, I'm wanting to kind of branch out into other projects, hence this podcast, and try to provide other views of asexuality, and a little bit more radical views. Like I said, you know, there's a lot of really good work is being done in the visibility side of things, but there is a huge radical potential for asexuality in various spheres of influence. With regard to sexual politics, I mean, the possibilities are endless there. With regard to sort of solidarity with other groups, with minority groups, with the rest of the GLBT community, with feminism, and yeah, with anarchism. And so those are some of the things that I'm interested in exploring with this podcast, and not everything that I'm going to talk about is going to relate specifically to asexuality, but there is going to be a point to everything that I think will kind of fall back into sort of a unified radical theory of asexuality. And that is something that I'm really interested in pursuing, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. There are a few questions that get asked of asexual folks all the time, and while I don't have the time this episode, or pretty much in any episode past this, to go through every single question that non-asexuals ask asexual folks, I do have five questions here that I've pulled sort of off of various frequently asked questions sites and things like that. Some of them are questions that I have received, but all of them are really sort of important in that they all bring up vital points. So the first question that I think is really important to have answered, if not, if it is, it's still at least annoying, is can asexuals have healthy relationships? Now, all of these questions are based in fundamental misunderstandings about the nature of relationships, how people can express attraction, love, etc., and how not all of those are sexual. Like I said in the previous segment, once you get into asexuality, you start to see how everything, or how there is so much more depth and so much more color in the realm of relationships. But the short answer to this question is yes, of course asexuals can have healthy relationships with allosexual individuals. What it does require is more work. The relationship requires more work. It requires more dedication. It requires allosexual people to be a little bit more open-minded about their own sort of requirements and their own sort of desires. And it requires a lot of navel-gazing almost. And I hate to say that because it sounds kind of silly and almost flippant to say it in that fashion, but it really does. You do require a lot of looking inward and at asking yourself some pretty important questions, as well as sort of interrogating your partner. But yes, asexuals can have healthy relationships, and we do all the time. In fact, more of us probably than you know. So the second question kind of comes out of that, is do asexuals avoid sex entirely? Now, the common misconception is that every asexual person is a sort of sexless robot and we avoid any sort of sexual contact at all. But in reality, the situation is a little bit more complex. There are certainly asexual individuals who are sex repulsed. Those individuals do try to avoid as much sexual contact and content as they can, as it severely grosses them out. And I get that. That's certainly, you know, something that is totally understandable. With them, relationships may be not necessarily trickier, but it certainly is going to add some levels of extra levels of navigation that you'll have to sort of pursue in order to, you know, maintain that relationship. Some asexual people are aromantic as well, so they pretty much just are looking for either friendships or they're not really looking for those kinds of relationships at all. They sort of don't want that intimacy. They don't feel the need for that intimacy. But there are also asexual people who are either sort of ambivalent on sex, and those, I guess, kind of fall in this gray area where sometimes, yeah, they just will not do it. Other times they may. It really depends on the person. And one thing I will say about that is different from a allosexual person sort of coercing or cajoling an asexual into having sex. To pressuring someone into having sex is different. Whether or not someone feels in the mood to have sex is entirely unrelated to whether or not they are attracted to somebody, but it is a consideration you do need to keep in mind in a relationship, and that's true for everybody. And then, of course, the third sort of category in there in this whole dynamic is there are sex enthusiastic asexuals, where they're not attracted to anybody, but they are interested in sex as sort of a recreational thing you can do, and they'll pursue that. Related question is, do asexuals masturbate? Again, some do and some don't. And generally, you'll find sort of the same distribution of people who kind of avoid sexual intercourse generally tend to avoid masturbation. But that, again, that does not mean that asexual people don't do it. With that also, there's a sort of a weird conflation between sexual arousal and sexual attraction. And, you know, as I sort of alluded to in my coming out story, you know, hitting puberty, you know, I did feel like I was probably more sexually active at the time. And it was certainly a thing I had to navigate in addition to not being really attracted to anybody in a romantic or sexual fashion. So some asexuals do masturbate, others do not. But here's the thing, with that question, try to avoid that question as much as possible. The reason I say that is because it's not really a question you would generally ask your allosexual friends. You're not asking a bi person, you're not asking a gay person whether they masturbate. Why are we doing that with asexuals? It's kind of like, unless you're in a relationship with somebody and you want to know, hey, you know, do you do this? Like, don't ask the question. It's not cool. Sort of the third, or I guess the fourth question here, though, is a little bit on a different track. It's, is asexuality the same as celibacy? Now, celibacy is, of course, the sort of abstention from sex that certain religious folks take up as a vow. And celibacy is not the same as asexuality, just straight up. Asexuality is the lack of sexual attraction. Celibacy, there is sexual attraction there, but they are choosing to sort of ignore that for their own pious ends. A lot of asexuals may be Christian. A lot of them may be atheist. A lot of them may sort of have an agnostic view of religion in general. But religious affiliation really does not have much to do with, do you experience sexual attraction? Yes or no? Or maybe. So, yes, there is a difference there between asexuality and celibacy. But the final question is sort of going to get me on a rant here, so prepare. It is sort of a question that underpins everything that has to do with asexual visibility activism, with coming out, with pride, with anything that asexuals are doing right now to sort of be out there in the open. And the question is, what is so important about asexual people having their own label, being out, and being visible? So, this question is difficult because it's generally followed by an accusation that asexual people are special snowflakes, that we're trying to steal limelight away from either the quote-unquote mainstream LGBT community or the ally community, because there is this mistaken idea that the A at the end of LGBTQIA, or just QIA, or however you use the alphabet soup there, stands for ally. Now, let me just say straight up that asexual people are probably the most likely to be completely self-deprecating in their sort of haste to assure people that they are not trying to take up space from others. It's sort of disappointing in a way that while other groups are able and encouraged to explore their pride, to explore their sexual orientation, to explore their gender identity, asexual people are sort of discouraged from doing any of that. You're just straight, you're just repressed, you're just this or that, and you're broken, things like that. It's important that asexuals are able to have their own space, even if it is not in relation to the rest of the sort of queer spectrum, the GLBT community, although many asexual people do feel that they are queer, is it's a way to signify to other people who may be experiencing these same feelings that they are not broken, that they are not alone, and that their existence is not bad. Being out and being visible accomplish the same goals. Would I still think that I'm straight with dysfunction if I hadn't discovered that asexuality was a thing 3 years ago? I can't say. That's a difficult question to answer. But generally speaking, I do feel that it is important that asexuals are able to sort of be out and visible. And I think it needs to go further than that. I think that asexuals can offer a critique of allosexual culture, of amatonormativity, which is the sort of preference of certain forms of relationships over any other forms of relationships. So, for example, monogamous, heterosexual relationships over anything else. Where romantic relationships, or I guess romantic attraction and sexual attraction, are sort of conflated. That's the sort of thing that I think asexuals can critique. And the only way we're able to do that is by being visible. And really just to say that we exist, that there are millions of us out there in the world, that we are here, and that we are not going away. We are not going to acquiesce, but that we're not special, that we're not looking for special treatment. We are here. We are visible. We're not going back into hiding. We're not going to deny what we are. And, that's really it. We exist. And we're not afraid to show that we exist. But yeah, past that, there are more questions. There's always more questions that folks have related to asexuality. But like I said, we're running out of time today. We actually, we're going to stick at about 30 minutes for this show. In the future, we may go longer. It depends. But, we'll see what we can do. So, let me know what you thought of the episode. You can leave a comment on the episode at YouTube, which I'll be posting it on youtube.com/T Holtner. You can also search for Illicit Popsicle and that pops up. You can also share your comments on Twitter. I'm at Illicit Popsicle there. And on Tumblr, I'm at the asexualanarchist.tumblr.com. Until next time, we'll actually be doing this every 2 weeks. So until next time, you guys stay asexy, and I'll talk to y'all later. This episode of the Asexual Anarchist Podcast was produced by Trevor Holtner. Music was by Kenobit. Visit kenobit.bandcamp.com for more of their stuff. That is kenobit.bandcamp.com. You can visit us online at theasexualanarchist.tumblr.com, where you can check out our latest updates and read our first zine titled How to Date an Asexual and Other Essays. You can also send us your thoughts about this episode or anything else to our email at theanarchoasexual@gmail.com. That is theanarchoasexual@gmail.com.